And everyone else, let's get our Bibles out. Does anybody else still want to be a disciple? Anybody still want to be a disciple? I told you, though, it takes work. Anybody find that it takes work to be a disciple? It does. It takes a lot of work to be a disciple. I told you before, a lot of people go to church. And we're glad a lot of people go to church. Let's be real. We're glad a lot of people go to church, right? Our churches are full of people this morning that went there. And guess what? They'll be empty when they leave there. How many know that's true, right? A lot of people came, and a lot of people's what? Going to leave. And when are they going to come back? Next Sunday. And that's the deal. That's the way that it works. But disciples are full-time. You're a disciple before you got here, and you're going to be a disciple when you leave here. How many understand the difference? There's like a humongous difference. It's a tremendously important difference, right? People who just go to church, they come, and then they leave. Disciples are disciples before they got here, and they're going to be disciples after they go home. How many understand that? You see, disciples know, I'm a disciple Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and oh yes, Sunday morning for an hour or two. It's the way that it works. And disciples are getting strong in the Lord. It takes work to be a disciple. It takes work. It doesn't take a lot of work to be a church attendee. It takes a lot of work to be a disciple. Now, I want to tell you again the importance of being a disciple. This is so important. And sometimes, you know, you need to hear this from actual reality, not things you heard, reality. And I'm telling you, I have no reason to lie to you. Sue will tell you. She works with me. And a sister could tell you too. Lori, there is a difference between people who believe and people who do not. True? There is a big difference. All things being equal. I know that you guys don't have the luxury of doing this. I see people who are dying every day. I see people that are suffering every day. Don't you, Sue? I see people that cannot walk. Don't you? I go to see Sue. She's one of my closest buddies. I go see her every Monday. I go in and I see people that are in there that are in wheelchairs, and they're never going to get out of them, right? I don't want to give a person's name, but you know who this is. She sits in a wheelchair in the back by the window, right? And she's like this. She's like this. How long has she been like that? Guys, I'm telling you. She sits in a wheelchair like this. Right? She has a foot that goes like that. Both feet goes like this. And her hands are like this. And she has like that much of a platform on her shoe. True? And she sits like this. She sits like this. All day. Every day. Like this. I was a minister to somebody on Monday. I baptized somebody on Monday. Isn't that cool? And they said, I can't believe they pay me to do this. I'm glad they do. I don't want them not paying me. But I can't believe I get paid to do this. I can't believe it. Then they called me to a situation, a nursing home. And I went in, I told you about this. And the fellow said to me, Pastor Tom, I want to be baptized. I've never been baptized. I led him to the Lord, accepted Jesus Christ. I baptized him on Thursday, back in the shower room. Oh, God, it's good. I gave him a baptismal certificate. He had people called. You know about that, right? So you heard about that? Well, I'm talking to him, and this person I'm telling you who sits like this, she's like two tables over. And I can see why I was talking to him, preparing for baptism. She was saying something to me, but I couldn't hear her. And I went over and said, oh, you talking to me? She says, I love you. I said, oh, I love you too. And she couldn't put her arms around me, but I could see that she wanted to hug me. And I bent down, and she put her face, and she kissed my cheek. She's a disciple. She's a disciple. Now, she can't get up and go to church, but guess what? She got church in here. And there's a big difference between going to church and having church. There are people who go to church, but they ain't got it. Because if you have church, guess what? You go and you take it with you out there. Because guess where you need church, brothers and sisters? Not here. You need it where? Out there. How many know? Out there, it's hard. Here we got some goodies on the table back there. We got some chocolate donuts. Ooh. Got some pizzelles back there too. I can see that. Did you save me some, Sandy? No! Well, back in the back, there's some goodies back there, right? There's some goodies, and it's air-conditioned in here. We sang some songs. Oh, life is good. But how many know when you go out there, it gets a little tricky? How many know out there is where the difficult stuff is? In here, it's hugs and kisses all around. But when you go outside there, how many know out there is going to get you? How many know they're going to get you out there? There's some issues out there. How many got some issues in their life? Where are they? So you better take somebody with you. And I don't know whether or not you're taking Jesus with you or not, but I am. He's going with me. How many take him with you too? I'm going to go out there and fight the good fight. I'm going out there and fight the fight. So being a disciple takes some work. Takes some work. There are a lot of people say to me, well, Pastor Tom, you know, I can't go to church because I work on Sunday mornings. And your issue is what? Well, didn't you hear what I said? Yeah, I heard you. I got hearing aids now. You said you work on Sunday, you can't go to church. I heard exactly what you said. So what's your problem? What do you mean, what's my problem? Don't you get it? No, you don't get it. You don't have to come to the building to have church. You have it where you live. How many know that's true too? You don't got to come here and pray, Jimmy. You don't have to come here and pray. You can pray at home. How many know that's true too? You don't got to come here and sing praises. Sing them in your car. Oh, I'm going to wait till Sunday. Well, then you're a churchgoer. You don't get it. You don't get it. You take Jesus with you. And that's being a disciple. That's being a disciple. And today we learn, continuing in the discipline of one of the greatest disciplines of being a disciple, and it is what? Prayer. And I told you, so far there are four aspects of prayer that is acceptable. There's prayer that's not acceptable, and the prayer that is acceptable. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, because I'm that kind of guy. I'm not into hurting people. I'm not into causing problems. You guys know that about me, right? I'm just not a problem kind of guy. And if I offend you, I don't mean to, but get over it. You'll heal. Prayer that is repetitious is not good. Prayer that goes over and over and over and over, just reciting, not a good thing. Not a good thing. Prayer's got to come from where? And there are four aspects of prayer so far that I told you. One is you must come in what? Faith. Faith in believing that God is who He is, that He can do what He says that He will do, and that you are important. The second aspect of prayer is you must come what? Humble. You must come humble. You don't come, look at me, God. I got some time for you today. I thank you, God, I'm not like everybody else. I thank God I'm like me. Wrong. A Pharisee prayed that way, didn't he? I thank you, God, I'm not like them other people over there. Well, you need to come humble. Lord, I can't believe you even want to spend time with me. Faith, humility, you must come according to God's will. You must pray that God's will be done and not whose? Yours. How many want your will to be done? Come on, really. How many want your will to be done? Come on, let's be real, right? You know you want your will to be done, don't you? Don't you know that? Ain't wrong. Fourth aspect of prayer that is acceptable is you must come righteous. Does that mean perfect? No. But you must come righteous. You know, looking at the computer, a thing you should be looking at and praying to God, not a good thing. Not a good thing. So you must come what? Righteous, which means that you are doing the right thing. How many understand that? Okay, fifth aspect, new one, that's today. Are you ready? You must be offered in thanksgiving. Prayer that is acceptable to the Lord must be offered in thanksgiving. So you must what? Come in faith. You must be humble. You must pray in God's will. You must come righteous. And the fifth aspect of prayer for a disciple growing up in the Lord is you must come in thanksgiving. Well, I do that the fourth Thursday in November. Or is it third? One of them Thursdays in November. Third? Thank you. I do that. Wrong. You need to come thankful. When? Oh, Pastor Tom, you must have fell off the truck and left your brain in it. How are you going to be thankful all the time? Rob, come on. Thankful all the time? You know when my transmission goes out right after the engine quit? I'm supposed to be what? Thankful? Oh, come on. Pastor Tom, man, what, you know, you must have a sheltered life.
Really?
Mom, was I sheltered? There was once a lady, and she was complaining about her job. And she said, my job, well, I have to use the vernacular today. Pastor is probably going to get me because I'm using this word. Just sucks. My job just... How many have a job like that? Like, it's just, oh, God, I hate my job. I hate my job. And this fellow was asking her, you hate your job? I hate it. There's nothing to be thankful for. Nothing. There is nothing to be thankful for. Zero, zip, nada, not a thing. Not a thing. And so the guy said to the lady who was complaining about her job, she hated her job, she said to the lady, says, they pay you where you work? Well, of course they pay me where I work. Stupid question. Would you rather not be paid? Well, that's the stupidest question you've asked me so far today, and I got a feeling more is on the way. No, I would rather not do it for free. I would rather get paid. Well, that's a good thing, right? Yes. Are you thankful that you get paid? Well, yes. Well, that's one thing. Do they pay you above average for what you do? Or do they pay you below average for what you do? Well, they pay me above average. Would you rather be paid below average for what you do? Well, of course not. Is that a good thing? Well, of course it is. That's two. Do you have benefits where you work? Well, of course I got benefits where I work. Would you rather work in a place that has no benefits? Well, of course I wouldn't. Well, that's three. Is it air conditioned in the summer where you work? Well, of course it is. You'd rather work in the squatter and heat outside? Well, of course I would. That's four. Do you have a parking? Do you have parking where you work? Of course I do. That's five. Do you have days off? That's six. Do you get vacation? That's seven. Do you have a job promotion? That's eight. And before this guy was done, she had like 20-some things that she should be thankful for. But what did she concentrate on? The thing that she hated. And if you go around this life thinking about the thing that you hate, guess what joy you're going to have in your life? Zip. Not any. Not any. How many of you in this room at least have a blessing? A blessing. Anybody thankful for that? How many of you got at least two? Just, I'm not asking like boatloads or truckloads, or how many got at least two? Anybody thankful for that? Everybody take your two fingers like this, like a little Cub Scout. Put it right alongside your throat like this. Press gently. Press gently. Lord, Sue, what do you feel? You feel a bump bump? Who feels a bump bump? Would anybody rather that not be bumping? Char, you're like a narcissist. You're a certified narcissist, right? Bumping's good, right? If this just goes nothing, that's bad, right? Who's thankful it's going bump, bump? Well, everybody go like this. You know what that is? That's life. Anybody thankful they got life? Now listen to me, church. Get over it. The world does not owe you the biggest and the bestest of everything. Get over yourself, because it does not. Only thing you got is an opportunity, and you ought to be what? Thankful. If you go around the world thinking about all the things that's bothering you, guess what? You're going to be a very bothered person. How many got some issues? Who don't got issues?
No.
Who said that? There's one big issue right there. But Eric, she may not, but you got a big one, boy. I tell you, right now. Stay on the ginkgo, baby. And so, we know that if we concentrate on our blessings. Yesterday, little baby James was down the park with Sissy and I. And Sissy and I were there, Bob and Christina, and Mike. Mike was there. And Mary was there. And little baby James came. And little baby James, he's on a very strict diet. You know, I can't give him like McDonald's French fries, stuff like that. But I snuck him some funnel cake. And boy, did I get busted because he had powdered sugar all over his mouth. I forgot the powdered sugar deal. I forgot the powdered. And Desiree said, did you give him funnel cake? And I had choices. I had choices. I could have said, no, he got it by himself. But he's only that big, so it didn't go. I couldn't say he bought it by himself. He has no cash. So I said, yeah. And she turned to baby and said, did you say thank you? And baby Jay said, thank you. How many of you teach your kids to say thank you? How many of you know that's like one of the first words that you want your child to learn? Is that a true statement? Now say what? Now say what, little Johnny? Say what? Thank you. Is that true? But I'm going to tell you right now, you can make it say it all they want, but you think they know what it means? When they're first learning it, they don't. And we can say thank you to God all we want, but if you're not saying thank you, see, you need to say thank you a lot less and be thankful a lot more. How many understand that? You can say thank you all you want, but you ought to be thankful in your heart. Who's thankful in the heart? I mean, I am so blessed. Do I got problems? Well, sure I do. But I got more blessings than that. And I'm a blessing person. I think about my blessings. I think about the things God has given to me. Like my little baby Shauna. What a blessing she's here this morning. That's a blessing for me. You know? So turn in your Bibles. Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20.
Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, it's a little tricky. A little tricky. So it says give thanks to God for what? Clyde, you hear me okay? Thanks to God for what? Now I would have liked that verse a whole lot better had it said give thanks to God for the good things. I'd have liked that a lot better, Whitey. Give thanks to God for the good things. Well, of course I give God thanks for the good things. But give God thanks for my trials? See, I'd have wrote that different. They probably translated that different. That can't be King James because they would have said good things probably. You got a King James probably, right? With you? You didn't bring the real one. Anybody got a King James Bible with them? Who's got King James? Paul, what does it say? Read it for me, Paul. Read it for me, brother. Oh, you need your glasses. Can anybody got a King James that can read and can see? Clyde, can you see it for me, brother? What does it say? Small problem. Oh, I got all these problems. But I'm still rejoiced. I'm still blessed. Oh, is that King James? Wait, that can't be King James. Ah, it's translated right, Rob. Give thanks to God for what? All thanks. Oh, you're adding it. You mean I should be thankful for my trials? Really? Did anybody see who just climbed the Himalaya Mountains? Let me tell you, this is really cool. Did you see that? Hey, anybody want to try to climb the Himalaya Mountains? I mean, how many's got that in your bucket list? Mark, you are an outdoors. No, not even you, Mark. Whitey. Climb the Himalaya Mountains, you want to do that? Hey, how about climbing with no legs? How about that, Lori, Sue? Climbing the Himalaya Mountains without legs. It just happened. What's your problem? No, really, come on, lay it on. What's your problem? Climb the Himalaya Mountains with less than this. Brothers and sisters, less than this. Climbed it with his hands. Sink it in there, girls and boys. Sink it in. Climb the Himalaya Mountains on his knuckles. And you know what he said when he was done? The calluses and the blisters are worth it. And he gave God thanks. Thankful for my trials? Yeah. Because you know what would happen without trials? You'd be cushy. And you know what you'd be good for? Nothing. Just cushy. Just cushy. How many of you, when you're going through your trials, you want somebody that's been there and done that before? I mean, how many of you want a brother or sister to put his arms around you and say, hey, come on, I did that. We can get this done. and here's how we're going to do it. How many people want people like that around you? That's what I want. I want people around me that's been through the fire, been tested, been honed, been sharpened. That's what I want. So thank you, God, for our trials. Thank you, God, for our storms. Thank you, God, for those moments in our life that has made us hardened and men and women of character. That's what we need. We don't need everything handed to us. We need to work for some stuff. Help me understand that too. It says, be thankful for what? Everything in all times, be thankful. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God.
Whew. Be anxious about what, Whitey? Nothing. How many, I think I've asked you this before, I'll ask it to you again. How many of you could write a book on worry? Right, I mean, Christina, I need really true, now be square with me now, don't be lying to me, I'll come sit on your lap and be embarrassed you proper. How many of you in this room are expert worriers? I mean, expert. All the expert worriers, stand up, I want to get a good look at you. Stand up. Expert worriers. Okay, cool. Now, don't sit down. Don't sit down. Okay, how many of you in this room are casual worriers? If you're a casual worrier, stand up. Casual worrier, stand up. Oh, cool. Okay. How many of you have worried at least one time in your life? Stand up. Stand up. Worried at least one time in your life. Can all the rest of you ain't standing? I'm worried about you now. Look around. Who's standing? Pretty universal, right? Okay, sit back down. Okay, all of those who are expert worriers, and you would write a book on all the best ways to worry. How many could at least fill a couple chapters? You know, if you want to worry, this is how you're going to do it. Now get yourself prepared to worry, you know. Get yourself in a room and turn all the windows down, pull the blinds down, and really, really concentrate. Don't concentrate on your blessings. Concentrate on the things that's kind of freaking you out. How many can write a book like that? Don't, you know, whether you got life or breath, that doesn't really matter. You know, whether you got food in the fridge, doesn't really matter. You know, you got light, you flip a switch, doesn't really matter. You know, you got a car, you got gas, got a job. Don't think about those things. Think about when you really want to worry, think about these things. How many could do a book like that? Cool, good. So we have some expert worriers. Okay, now how many of you expert worriers could write the sequel to the book, All the Things I Have Accomplished Through Worry? Okay, Christina could write one. I'm not buying it. How many can write a book, How to Make Yourself Sick Through Worry? Well, we got some more people writing a book like that, huh? How to worry yourself to death in 10 easy lessons. Who could do that? I mean, worry yourself to death in 10 easy lessons. Char, yeah. And Christina will write the prologue for it. I mean, she can write the, you know. It says, do not be anxious about what? Now let me tell you what you are worried about. Now, and I'm going to be general, not specific. I'm not going to tell you about worried about the mortgage or rent. Nah. What you're worried about is this. God cannot handle that thing. Oh, Pastor Tom, man, you are so nuts. No, it's true. Because how many believe God can do all things? But see, if you're saying God can do all things, but I need to worry about that thing, then therefore what you are saying is God, one of two things. God, you can do all things, but you can't do that thing, so I need to worry about it. Or God, you can do all things, but I don't think you want to do this thing, so I need to worry about it. But I don't want to worship the God you worship. No, really. I really don't. No, really, I truly don't. I don't want to worship a part-time God. I don't want to, if you want to worship a part-time God, hey, be a part-time Christian. See, I believe that God can do all things, including that thing. And I believe God wants to do that thing according to his will. But I know that he's got a plan, and he might not want to do that thing because he's got a different plan for me than that thing. How many agree with that statement? True. How many of you have ever lost one thing in your life and God gave you back tenfold more than you ever thought you'd ever get? Why wouldn't he do that again? I mean, come on. Let's be mature. Let's be disciples, right? Let's be disciples. The world takes away, and God says, I'll give it back. How many ever got something back? What's the deal? Now, I know he didn't get, you know, you might not have got it back like a minute rice kind of thing. How many know popcorn takes too long now? It's a minute and 50 seconds. It's like, I want the 10-second one. And it says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, check that out. Philippians chapter 4. Look at that. Read that for me again there, Chris, Mickey. Look at the order.
Be anxious for nothing.
That's number one.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God.
Be anxious about it. So you come to the Lord in prayer, not being what? Anxious. Because if you go to the Lord being anxious, what you're really saying to Him is you're already on the wrong page. You're already not a disciple. You're a churchgoer. And we love churchgoers. But that's not growing up in the Lord. That's being immature. If you go to Him being anxious already, Lord, here I am, Lord. But you're always saying, Lord, I don't think you're even going to do what I'm going to ask you to do. I need to be anxious about it. What are you talking about? You need to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I know that you can do all things. I know you are holy. I know that you are just. I know that you are awesome. And I know that you only have my best interests in heart. And I know that whatever I ask, you hear me. And I know that you will grant the prayers according to your will. And I know that you have a plan for me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to offer you future with a hope, plans to prosper you. How many believe that? And what are you worried about? Really? Really? Now, if you want to be, you know, the King Putin tooting to some country somewhere, I guess you could be anxious about that, because chances are you ain't going to be the King Putin tooting of some island somewhere there in Hawaii. You're not going to happen. So if that's the only thing that's going to make you joyful, guess what? Welcome to your pity party, because you ain't going to be it. How many understand that? You're not going to be it. If you have these high, lofty goals that's going to make you happy, this is where your problem is. I want God's will to be done in my life, no matter what it is. How many understand the difference? That's a big difference. See, if I'm only going to be joyful when I get what I want, welcome to your sad existence. How many understand that? Because guess what? There's a wonderful hymn. It's not in a hymnal, but it ought to be. You can't always get what you want. It's hymn number something in the United Methodist Assembly. It's in there. You can't always get what you want. How many know that song? How many know it's true? You're not going to get everything that you want. But you will get everything that you need. And the difference is with disciples, what I got that I have fulfills my need is good enough. If you don't do one thing more for me, Lord, you have already done more than I deserve. How many can say the same thing? If you don't bless me one more time, you bless me plenty. Right? As long as I got air in my lungs and my heart is beating, I got legs and arms, I can go to work and I can make things better for my life. Is that true? And you should be what? Thankful. Turn in your Bibles, please. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. And that's not Galatians, it's Colossians chapter 4, verse 2.
Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving.
Okay, how many of you wanted something really, 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 really big, really, really important when you was a kid and you didn't get it? Oh, sorry, Mom. I mean, how many ever wanted something and you did not get what you wanted? Right? How many of you survived it? Now, maybe possibly, if you would go to some kind of secular counselor, he may say some of your problems in life is because you did not get the red wagon when you wanted it when you were four. And somehow it damaged your little heart that you didn't get it. And because you did not get the little red wagon when you was four, you learned rejection. And your little heart was irreparable damage because you did not get the little red wagon. And then when you grew up a little bigger and you wanted the bike, you needed to have the bike like everybody else's bike. You didn't want the secondhand bike. No, you wanted the new bike. You know, the bike that had the little dinging bell on it. You remember those bikes, right? Right? It had the, who said the basket? And a basket in the front, you know that, right? And it had like the carrier in the back that nobody could ride on, but all the kids rode on it anyhow. How many know the bike I'm talking about? It had the streamers on it. Hey, how many I'm going to check how old you are. How many know what to do with a baseball card in a clothespin? You guys know that? You know that? We had the loudest bikes, Harley Davidson, right? But you know, you didn't get the brand new bike, so therefore you were forever, ever, ever beyond repair. Your little personality and your little psyche has been completely damaged because you did not get the brand new bike. The world is so tough. And then you grew up when you was like 16 or 17. You wanted a car. How many only had one car when you were growing up? How many know your dad had it most of the time? Right, and you weren't going to get that car, right? And then you had a struggle with the brothers and sisters, right? And I want the car. No, I asked for the car first. No, it's my turn. No, it's not. How many did not get the car when you wanted it? And, you know, and all of your life you suffer because of that. Grow up. You are not going to get everything your little heart desires, but you will get everything that you need. Help me understand the difference. That's truly the difference. And be thankful, not for what you do not have, be thankful for what you do have. Amen to that? Who woke you up this morning? Alarm clocks don't wake people up. God woke you up. And God said, let's go. Let's go. We got work to do. But I don't feel like it. I was out late last night till 9:30. I'm getting older. I'm past my bedtime. It's 10. Get a grip. As long as we got blood flowing through our veins and breath in our lungs and we have the bump bump, guess what that means? It is not over yet. And tomorrow's blessings or could be today's problems. Get a grip. Be thankful. Be thankful. Go to the Lord with thanksgiving in your heart. Let's do one more. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 7 to 18.
Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Does God want you to be thankful? He does. You know, my wife Sissy, we're going to have obviously, we got all the grandkids with us today, except for James. But you know, she's giving them a whatever. Say, a popsicle, suppose, right? And the kids will be coming to our house and they'll want a popsicle. And Jacob will say, Nana, can I have a popsicle? And Nana will say to him, what are you supposed to say? Well, what's the first word he has to say?
Please.
So you know the drill, right? You know the drill. And she hands him the popsicle. And what must he say? If he does not say thank you, we're going to have a speech. There's going to be a speech at Nana's house. Jacob, now what should you say? Yummy? Not yummy. Thank you. Does she want him to say thank you? Yes. Because it's being what? Polite. Let's just be real. Let's be grown up. And when we say thank you to somebody, we're really being what? Polite. Most of the time it's polite. You say, thank you. You smile. Thank you. But God wants us to come being thankful. Thankful. There were 10 lepers. And how many of the 10 lepers did Jesus heal? All of them. And they went away. How many came back? And Jesus said what? Where are the other 9? I don't know when the last time is you just stopped and gave him thanks. Yeah, you got issues. Life is not easy. Life is not easy. But let's just do a little inventory here, okay? Would any of you rather live 200 years ago? Come on, let's be real. Let's be grown up. You know, Sissy and I, we were driving down from Conneaut Lake on Friday or something, I forget, Thursday, and we passed an Amish farm. And I saw the lady out there hanging the clothes on the line thing. Anybody rather go back to those days? I mean, really? I was teasing with Sissy. There was a young boy, good-looking, strong Amish kid. You just tell. And he's in the buggy by himself. And he's riding down the road up by New Wilmington. Anybody know where's up by New Wilmington? He's riding in the buggy. I looked at him and I said, Sissy, you know where he's going? It was like about 6 o'clock. He's going to pick up his girlfriend. He said, "You're kidding." I said, "No, I'm not." He's going to go pick up Sarah. I said, "Get in the buggy. We're going to go down to the farm market and buy ourselves some corn." Life is good, Sarah. Have a little corn roast, me and you. But mom and dad will be all around, of course, but life is good. Anybody want to go back to that kind of stuff? Really? Come on now. Do you want to go back there? I know people that gripe and complain when their air conditioners break down. True. Call Cliff. 1-800-CALL-CLIFF. He'll fix it for you. True. Am I being true? So how many of you know we got it easy? This is easy. How many believe life today in 2012 is easy compared to what life was? True. Anybody want to trade? Probably not. Anybody thankful? I mean, gosh, you know, a couple hundred years ago, people were dying from flea bites. From flea bites, the bubonic plague. Dying! You know that song? Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posy. You guys know that, right? Who was better at singing it? Steve, okay. You want to get up and demonstrate it, you guys? No. who knows the song? How many of you ever played that game? Ring. You guys know where that came from? It came from the bubonic plague. Yeah! You know that little ditty? Ring around the rosy. You know what that meant? Ring around the rosy was the thing, the disease that you got. Ring around the rosies. Pocket means you're dead. Because they didn't embalm you then. Pocket full of posies? Guess what they did when they didn't embalm you? They stuck flowers in your pockets because you stunk. That's that song. Ring around the rosy, a pocket full of what? Posies. Ashes, ashes. Guess what they did to you back then? They burned you. We all fall. What am I, yo? That's where that song comes from. Anybody glad you're not back there? Let's be real, right? Let's be real. We get a little, guess where we go now? Walmart. Anybody glad for that kinds of stuff? You get a little pink eye thing. Oh my God, I got pink eye. You go to Walmart, pick up some, you know, whatever, potatoes, and walk into the little lady. Hey, I got some pink eye. Here's some salve. Give me $20. Are you kidding me? Anybody glad you could go into Walmart now and get fixed up? You don't have to call and say, well, we can fit you in like 2 months from now. Well, that might be coming though. Yeah. So, how many are just plain old thankful? God knows the secret of your hearts, right? So I'm going to ask you to do something. If you are truly thankful, I mean really honest to God who knows the secret of your heart thankful, you stand up. We're going to pray. Only if you're thankful. I only want to see. I'm not even going to look. If you're thankful, just stand up. If you're thankful, just stand up. Okay, I'm not looking, so I'm not looking. Let's just pray. Father God. Father God, we got trials, you bet. We got obstacles and tribulations, you bet. Issues, sure. But all of these issues and all of these trials are opportunities for you to show your greatness. The bigger the problem, the bigger our God is. The bigger the issues that we have, oh God, just shine your glory down upon us, Lord, and let the world see how big our God is. When we have to face a lion's den, we'll do it. When we have to face a fiery furnace, we will do it. Because our God is great. Our God is holy. Our God is oh so wonderful. Lord, and we are so thankful. We're thankful, Lord, for the things that we take for granted. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of family and friends and a place to come and worship. We thank you, Lord, for all those important things, Lord, that we may not have everything that money can buy, but what we got money is not buying either because they can't have it. Oh, Father, thank you so much. If you don't know one more thing, Lord, you've done plenty already. Lord, give us the strength to face our trials and tribulations. Let us take our eyes off the problems and put them on you. And we will be thankful. And all of God's people said,